Did you all good evening? Good to see you out with us here tonight. Got a good number out with us here this Sunday evening. And it says a lot about you and your love for God to be here tonight. I know there's other places you could be, but the fact you're chosen here says an awful lot about you. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here tonight, wishing to worship God, wishing to edify one another, wishing to feed upon His Word. And we've come to the part of our worship where we're going to do that very thing. We're going to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. But not just simply preaching and teaching it, but all of us joining in the study of it and feeding upon it and allowing it, hopefully, to fall upon good and honest hearts that we might be the type of people that God would have us to be. I want you to appreciate that. I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here to my left. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse for everything the Word of God has to say to us tonight. So you can look these things up for yourself. Hopefully, if you have a bulletin, you can kind of follow along. You can fill in the blanks a little bit, stay engaged, not only for tonight's study, but maybe you can study it a little bit more later on. For those of you who don't have that, again, take out a pencil, piece of paper, write these things down, study to see that they are so. I can make a mistake, don't take my word for it. Go to the Bible, see it for yourself. The things that I'm saying to you here this night is true. What I'd like to do here to begin, a little jumping off point for our lesson, is I'm going to just simply read some statements attributed to Jesus in the Scripture. And I won't tell you where they're at right now. Just want you to listen to them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest those that sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, but you would not. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. That's a Matthew 11:28, chapter 23, verse 37, John 7:37, and John 12:32, and of course Revelation 3, verse 20. As you hear those statements made by the Lord, it is very clear in these passages that Jesus wishes a relationship with you this evening. He is clearly inviting all listeners in this assembly, those who are watching us online, those who may be listening to this later in a recording, that He is calling upon your heart to hear His invitation for you in particular to come and have a relationship with Him. And what I want us to do here this evening is I'd like to catalog real quickly some of the things that Jesus wishes to be in your life. There are things that he very specifically would like to be and have the center spot in your life in regards to these relationships. And I want you to meditate and consider those with me here this evening. The first one seems like maybe a little bit obvious, but Jesus wishes to be your Savior. I mean, that's the very thought in His name itself. And she shall bring forth a son and call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. Jesus means Savior. Paul would say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus wishes to be your Savior. Paul would say, who gave Himself for our sins, that we might be delivered from this evil world according to the will of God. The Lord delivers. The Lord saves. And as you think about that, saves from what? And that's a good question. And I think all of us can kind of make application in these various areas. I mean, Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:22, blood had to be shed for your sin. And it was either your blood or His blood. And Jesus wishes to die in your stead. In 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 3, in verse 21 there, Jesus Christ, I'm seeing so there, that all of us are, those who have been baptized because of His resurrection, have been saved. And like your baptism does also now save us. In Revelation 1, verse 5, and him who loved us and washed our sins away in his own blood, Jesus Christ wishes to deliver us from the guilt of sin and the practice of sin. The psalmist would say in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Jesus wishes to save you from this present world and you transgression the will of God, and he's done that by giving us his word. He has given us Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ wishes to be your Savior, that he might save you from the consequences of your sin. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus did not want you to die. I hear many times people talk about, well, someone died. That's the will of God. No, it's not God's will that you die. Jesus Christ came that you might not die, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Paul would say in Acts 13, verse 38 and 39, let it be known unto you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ paid the price, and he wishes to be your Savior. Listen to his call tonight. Come unto me. I wish to be your Savior. But he also wishes to be your King. I mean, this is the very thought involved with the word Christ. Christ literally means anointed, the chosen. And many times a prophet, a priest, or a king in the Bible is anointed. And what I want you to appreciate it is Jesus fits the bill in all of those. We had read by Greg Sewell a few moments ago, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. I will raise up a prophet from among your brethren, like unto me, him you shall hear. Jesus Christ was prophet. He was anointed the prophet that we should hear. But he was also anointed priest. For we don't have a high priest that cannot sympathize with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15, Jesus Christ is our high priest. But what we're talking about here is that Jesus wishes to be your King. John chapter 18, as he is discussing with Pilate, he asks Pilate, or Pilate asks him, are you a king? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I might not be delivered unto thee. For such I was born, for such I came into the world. Why? That I might establish a kingdom, that I might be king. Upon this rock I will build my church. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus would say, listen, there's some of you standing right here that shall not see death until the kingdom come with power. Jesus Christ established his kingdom in the first century. And those who were alive at that time saw the kingdom come with power in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus Christ is king. And now it is possible for us to enter into it. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, when he has called us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. How? Because he has pulled me out of the power of darkness and that he saved me through his death. This is the idea of a spiritual kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. That is, someone's going to say, look, over there it is. Oh, wow, you see those big walls over there? There it is. No, he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. God, Jesus Christ, I should say, rules in the hearts and minds of men today in his spiritual kingdom. And Jesus calls you tonight, come unto me, I wish to be your king. But also, he wishes to be our owner. That is literally the idea of the word Lord. It means master, it means owner. And Jesus has every right to expect us to be this, for he has purchased us. In Acts 20 and verse 28, talking to the Ephesian elders there, he said, listen, I want you to feed that flock which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased us. We are blood-bought people. Peter would say in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, you know you've not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold. You haven't been purchased out of sin by green money, by coin money. But no, he said, but by the precious blood of Jesus as the lamb without spot and blemish. Jesus has paid the price. And he has purchased us from our iniquities. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul would say, why don't you know that your body is not your own, but a temple of the Holy Spirit which is within you? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus Christ purchased us. And he calls upon all of us to recognize that. And he says, come unto me. Let me be your Lord. Many people don't have no problem with Jesus being Savior, but have trouble with him being the Lord. I want you to understand that Jesus wishes to be your Lord, but also he wishes to be your teacher. You know, Nicodemus called him a teacher come from God in John 3 and verse 2. In chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus would say to his Jews that believed upon him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus wishes to be our master teacher, and we to be his disciples. And that's literally the idea of someone who is a disciple. It is an adherent. It is one who follows the teaching of another. And by its very nature, Christianity is a taught religion. Go teach all nations, baptizing them. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus would say in John 6:45, it's written of the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Jesus wishes to be your teacher. He isn't just a figurine nailed upon a cross. He wishes to be your Lord, and he wishes to be your teacher. John chapter 6 and verse 68, after everyone else was leaving Jesus, they couldn't stand the things that he was teaching anymore. He wasn't fun. He was walking away from it. And he asked his disciples on that occasion, are you going to leave me too? And you may recall Peter said in John 6 and verse 68, where are we going to go? You have the words of everlasting life. Jesus calls tonight, come unto me, for I wish to be your teacher. But also, Jesus says, I wish to be your shepherd, the shepherd of the flock. As you think about that, I mean, we don't have a bunch of sheep around here. We learn it through Scripture. We learn it as we study. As you think about the shepherd, he is the one that guides. He is the one that comforts. He's the one that protects. He's the one that provides. The sheep have to depend totally upon the shepherd. In John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus wishes to be your shepherd. Peter would call him in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, the chief shepherd, the chief guide, the chief protector, the chief leader of the flock. In Psalms 23, it was David who said, you know what? The Lord is my, what? Shepherd. I shall not want. I will lack nothing. As long as the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing that I'm going to lack. And that's the reason why Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33 would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be provided unto you, because I am the good shepherd. And if I am your shepherd, you shall not want. Jesus wishes to be our shepherd, and he wishes to be your light. Have you ever been in a situation where someone says, hey, does anybody have a light? And I don't mean for a cigarette. I mean, hey, anybody got a flashlight? I mean, I can't see. I need something to help me be able to see, because it's dark, because there's obstacles in the way, there's danger. And Jesus says, I want to be the illumination in your life. In the book of John in chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus, or speaking of Jesus, it would say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Think about that. He was the light of men. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The world is dark. It is a very dark place. And those who do not follow after the light find themselves stumbling and falling into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction, Paul would tell Timothy. But Jesus is the light. He illuminates the way. He shows us what life is all about and how we should live it. Who translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were stuck in darkness and Jesus is now light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I want you to appreciate that as Jesus is our light. And his light illuminates in our lives. We become reflectors of that light. We can't help it. Turn on a light, turn on a lantern. I can see my shadow going left and right. I've been distracted at times. Seeing my shadow. What? No, we're, oh, that's just me. You can't help but be a reflector of light. And Paul would say that we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in a midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you also shine as lights unto the world. Why? Because Jesus wishes to be your light, and if he is the light in your life, you can't help but reflect that light on other people. Jesus wishes to be your light. And finally, Jesus wishes to be your life. In Galatians 2:20, Paul would sum up his life this way. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I'm alive, but I've crucified my will. I've crucified my desires that I might live for Christ. And that come unto me, Jesus said, come learn of me. Take on my yoke, and I will give you rest. Luke 9 and 23, he would talk about the fight. Any man that needs to come after me will deny himself and take up his cross to follow me. For whosoever shall try to save his life, shall lose it. But he who is willing to lose his life for me shall find it. The only way you're ever going to have a life or ever have life is to give your life to Jesus. That's the only place where there is life. And all the time, people are trying to make a life, get their life all straight. Once they got their life all straight, then they'll come and have time for Jesus. And that simply will not work. Because Jesus wishes to be your life. And unless Jesus is your life, then you have no life. Colossians 3:4, Paul said, when Christ, listen, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. If you want to be in glory with Jesus when he appears, then he better be your life. Because those are the ones who will be glorified. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come into him. And I'll sup with him and he with me. Because I want to be your Savior and I want to be your King. I want to be your Lord and teacher. And I want to be your shepherd in your life. And I want to be your life. Jesus invites. He doesn't force. He invites. Will you accept? You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much. I'm about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient. to this Savior's words, "Go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved." You need to do that before you leave this place. Maybe there's something else you need us to do to help you with. Pray for you. Whatever we can do, the Lord will allow us to live.